This is File 57, Cycle 2. Today's date is June 28, 2017. This is Jean McMillan. I am interviewing Kim Cannon about the Housatonic Daycare Center, but we'll start first with the genealogical information. What is your name?
Kim Cannon.
And when were you born?
April 28, 1977.
And your birthplace?
Minot, North Dakota.
And your parents' names?
Randall and Shirley Cannon.
Do you have siblings?
I do. I have a brother, Glenn Cannon, and a sister, Amanda Lidstone.
What's her last name?
Lidstone. L-I-D-S-T-O-N-E.
And how did you come to the area?
I came in 1989. My parents had decided to move back after my dad retired from the military and got a job with American Airlines.
And he worked out of New York City, right?
He did, that's right.
Okay. What is the formal name of the organization?
Housatonic Child Care Center, Incorporated.
And how did you get involved?
I got involved because my niece started to attend. I had just moved back from Boston. I work from home for a company and wanted to be involved in my community and felt like I work for a child care company doing finance for them. So I felt like it was a good organization that I could add some of my expertise in and also get involved in my community where I live.
What was the name of the Boston company?
Bright Horizons Family Solutions.
And do they develop a curriculum for early childhood?
They do. They have an in-house curriculum called the World Curriculum. The Housatonic Child Care Center uses a curriculum called Teaching Strategies Gold, which is a curriculum that multiple child care centers use.
Okay. This is a good question.
Mm-hmm.
When did the Housatonic Child Care Incorporated move to Salmon Kill Road?
The new center opened in 1996.
How many are on the board of directors?
We have 7 board members, and we have a bookkeeper, and then the executive director, Tanya Roussis.
What's your term of office?
If you are an officer, it is a 3-year term. Mm-hmm. And we do not put a limit on how long you can serve on the board. Janet Manko currently has been on the board for over the last 30 years on and off.
Oh, my word. What does the board actually do?
So the board supports the center director in terms of any human resource needs, policy, updating, support, and our major function is as fundraisers because the center is a not-for-profit and our goal is to try to keep family tuitions as low as possible while still providing the highest quality of care that we can. And because childcare is such an expensive industry in terms of the wages that we should be paying teachers, in terms of the tuition that families want to pay, we have a little bit of a gap that we need to make up.
And how do you get your funding?
So we, in terms of the fundraising, we do special events. Every year we do an event called the Big Rig. It's not a huge moneymaker, but it's a great community friend. We call it a friend maker because it's actually a fundraiser that the kids can attend.
Yeah.
Many fundraising activities the children can't or don't want to attend.
Mm-hmm.
So we do that. We also do some paint and sip fundraisers where we have Berkshire Paint comes and they have a woman who teaches you how to paint a picture We actually have one in July coming up of the town grove.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a, she painted this beautiful picture of a, of the grove,
mm-hmm.
and she actually can teach someone like me who can't draw a circle to paint this beautiful picture in a very easy way. And you get a couple glasses of wine while you're doing
it. That helps
it.
You paint.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that'll do it.
And then we have some, you know, silent, some, you know, the little lottery. You buy some raffle tickets and your name gets picked.
And you do an appeal letter, too, don't you?
Yeah, and then we have an annual appeal as well. But we're always looking and trying out new and different ideas. We also get funding from the town of Salisbury. So that's another huge piece for us that our, the funding from Salisbury basically covers the cost of our building. So electric, water.
Oh, wonderful.
All of that. And so what the parent tuition pays for are the center materials, the teacher's salaries, etc. And so we're bridging the gap between them.
Wonderful. What's your position presently?
I am the treasurer of the board.
And you have expertise in that.
I do, yes.
Okay, how many years have you been on the board?
I've been on the board 7 years at this point.
Okay. Now, how is the daycare structured as far as the children are concerned?
So we have three age groups, infant, toddler, and preschool. Each age group is based on, there are certain requirements in, every state has different requirements in terms of what we call ratio, child-to-teacher ratio. So
okay.
If you're 0 to 3 years old, for every 4 children, there has to be 1 teacher.
Mm-hmm.
From 3 and potty trained up, that's considered preschool. That's a...
Well, what about the toddlers? Is that infant, toddler?
So toddler is considered 2s and 3s.
Okay.
So infants are 0 to 1, toddlers are 2 and and 2 to 3, 1 to 2, 2 to 3.
Right.
And then once you get to 3 and potty trained, the ratio goes up to, for every 10 children, 1 teacher. Each, we have a head teacher in every age group. The head teacher has to have specific education requirements. It's 12 early childhood education credits or an equivalent. And I think it's 250 hours of care in terms of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then each of those head teachers has an assistant teacher working with them in the classroom.
Do the assistants have to have training too?
The assistants, they have to have certain trainings, CPR, medical, or how do I want to say it, like administration.
Yep.
And I think there are some other specific required training, but you do not have to have
the same amount.
The same amount and or specific child care training. You sort of get that on the job as you're learning from your head teacher in the classroom.
So no experience in child care is necessary as an aide.
Correct. Legally, we are...
You provide it on the job training.
Correct. And ideally, when we're hiring, we're looking for folks who do have some.
Okay. In numbers, how many do you have on your staff?
We have... We have 9 teachers. We have an assistant director and a director. So 11 all in total. And that's full-time, so we also have a couple of subs. So I think there are 3 additional folks who will come in and help out when needed.
Okay. With the lead teachers, this is a formal teaching training program for them.
So yes, they have to take classes at a higher education facility that class is considered early childhood education. So it could be, you know, child development, early childhood specific courses.
And you said that the curriculum that they follow is the
Teaching Strategies Gold.
Can you give an example of something within that curriculum?
Sure. So in the preschool room, they really focus on what we call case studies. So, for example, recently the preschoolers were learning about books. So they were encouraged to bring in their favorite books from home to share with their friends. They learned about the binding, the title page, all of the, you know, ins and outs of the book. They talked about how books are used, where they're used, what different materials they can be made out of. I think they actually made some books themselves, and then it ended with our center-wide book fair. So they sort of bring in all of the elements together, and then they say, hey, look, it now we can buy some books that we learned about this week to help benefit
Wonderful.
The center.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Used to teach that in fourth grade. Oh, dear. How many clients do you have, roughly?
We have right now 35 families enrolled for the summer, and we expect that to go up into the mid-40s for the fall.
Now, the fee schedule.
Mm-hmm. So the fees are, again, we talked a little bit about the ratios mm-hmm. in the classroom. So the fees are based on those ratios. So in those 0 to 3 year classrooms, infants and toddlers, you're paying a little bit more because you have to have more staffing and there's less children. We base it on hours of care as well as age of child. And the other part of our fundraising in terms of making up that gap mm-hmm. is also to help provide financial aid for families who need it, because we know it is an important service, and if you can't work, you know, if you don't have child care, you can't work, it you know, becomes a circular reference. So our hope is that we can help provide that ease of mind that mm-hmm. while you're working and you know, trying yeah. to do all you can, your child is taken care of. And
I've never been in that position, but it would be... When I was taking care of my father, mm-hmm. it was, you know, I'm working, and something is... He has somebody to take care of him at home, but if there's an emergency, I get called, and it's like, what do I do?
Yeah.
And so, even though I haven't had the child, I've had the elderly parent situation.
Yeah, the dependent.
And it's difficult.
Yeah.
It's very difficult.
Definitely.
Are you accredited?
We are. So, we have, it's called NIAC Accreditation, National Accreditation for the Education of Young Children.
Oh, you're good. Oh, you're good. Is that,
and so,
does it have to be renewed, or is it?
It does, yes. So every year, you have to send in an annual report that talks about the curriculum that you're providing, the credentials of your teachers. You have to actually do a parent survey that talks about, you know, what the center is doing well, things that we can work on for the next year. And every 5 years, there is a re-accreditation process. So you have to go through the whole process again in terms of there's lots of documentation, and it's a very, very onerous process.
It sounds as if it would be.
Yeah, but it really does hold you to a higher level of standards in terms of the education that you're providing, mm-hmm. the facility that you're allowed to use, the, you know, teaching staff that you have, etc.
What are your months and hours?
We are open 12 months a year. We close for 2 weeks during the year, once between Christmas and New Year's that week, and for a week right before the Region 1 opens. So it's usually the third week of August. Mm-hmm. And our hours are 7:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m.
Does everybody work from 7:30 to 5?
No. So we have the majority of our lead teachers are 7:30 to 4, mm-hmm. and we have our assistant, we're able to sort of flex our assistant teachers, hopefully, and or that's why we have some of those subs who will come in and work that 4 to 5:30, 3:30 to 5:30, depending on what we need, time frame.
Okay. How about security?
So we did a fundraiser for a security campaign right after Sandy Hook. And we actually were just looking for an intercom or a little trigger so we could lock the alarm. We could lock the door all day long and have a button that the director could let people enter. We were asking for $1,500 and we raised $11,000.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. So we actually ended up getting that door lock as well as an alarm system and some cameras.
Ooh.
So it's actually been it's actually been really great and gave the teachers and staff and families, you know, an extra level of
comfort.
Security
mm-hmm.
and comfort that, you know, while we're making sure that no strangers are coming through.
And that's important.
Yeah.
That's important.
Definitely.
In this day and age, definitely.
Sure is.
What are the benefits of having your child at the daycare center?
So I think that the biggest piece is that you have a level of comfort that while you're working, you can concentrate on what you're doing
mm-hmm.
and not have to worry, is my child taken care of? Because not only is your child taken care of, but your child's learning throughout the day. And they're learning while they play. And they're not necessarily sitting down and learning the ABCs, but in a very strict way, they're learning it while they play. And they're having fun doing it. They're making friends. They're learning how to be friends, how to treat each other. They get a lot of different experiences in terms of we bring in some different activities. Recently they had a llama come in, and they learned about different animals, and they got to meet a llama.
I hope it didn't scare.
No, it did not. Women's Support Services comes in and does some programs monthly talking about, you know, how to speak to your friends, different sort of learning ways to learn through puppet shows.
Yes. Oh,
and then we have Tom Hanford comes in during the fall time. I think it's every other week in the toddler and preschool classrooms, and he does, he's called Tom the Music Man, and so he plays music with the kids. We have a group called Born to Groove, which are some drummers, and they come in and they drum with the preschoolers, I think it's once or twice a month. So they get a lot of different
activities
and experiences that they wouldn't normally get
mm-hmm.
in a non-child care setting.
Okay. Health. In school, sometimes the parents would send the child in with a cough or a temperature. What are your standards for that?
So we have a sick policy that every parent gets when they enroll and they have to sign. It talks a lot about, you know, here's the temperature that we will send you home at. But there's also other things that if your child cannot participate and is tired, is not sort of acting like themselves, we're gonna be concerned and we're gonna give you a call and you can come and check out your child, or, you know, we can talk, they talk through the different things. But these folks are with your child
Eight
hours a day,
yeah.
So they know your child pretty well, and they know when there's something going on. So, you know, we sort of raise that flag, but there have been, in the wintertime, like, it's tough, again, when
mm-hmm.
you're the primary care, when they're sick, you have to leave work, and they can't come back for 24 hours because they've had a fever, and that's hard on you as the working parent as well.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of illness.
Is there anything that I haven't covered that I should have?
I don't think so. I mean, I think it really is one of those services in the community, in my opinion, that is so important because it helps parents be able to go to work when they need to. And it's your lawnmower, and it's your tile guy, and it's your electrician, and it's your teacher, and
it's everybody
who is, and it's you that's using the service, and it's a great service in the community, but I but I would hope that many folks think of it, don't think of it as daycare, and it's more of, or babysitting, it's more of an education for their child, and they get to see all of these different great things that they're getting to do.
What a wonderful way to end the interview. Thank you.
Thank you so much.